Today's episode is brought to you by Radcasters. It's my latest venture, a podcasting school, which will take you from fear, procrastination and overwhelm to podcasting like a pro in 6 short, fun weeks. So if you're considering starting a podcast or you've started one and it's just not getting the kind of traction that you want, then head over to radcasters.com and check out the Radcasters Podcasting School. Today's interview is with Jessica Donovan, the energetic mama. And that she is. She has an awesome, upbeat, positive kind of vibe. This was a super fun chat about everything from balancing motherhood and business to freedom and travel. So I'm excited to bring you the energy of the energetic mama, Jessica Donovan. Enjoy. Welcome to Carlosophy's Stories Behind Success. I'm Carly Nimmo. It's so easy to fall into comparisonitis as an entrepreneur, and it can be paralyzing. In my own journey, I've come to understand that regardless of your level of success, fame, or fortune, we're all suffering from the same stories of fear, struggle, and failure. So let's talk about it.
So I guess my story starts back in my teens. Well, that's, I guess, where I'd like to start, with my own health issues that I was having. So I had some hormonal stuff going on, as you do when you're a teenager, but just really bad skin acne, which does no favours for, you know, your self-esteem as a teenager, and irregular periods and all of that sort of stuff going on. So my mum took me along to the doctor. I think I was 14 or 15, and the doctor prescribed the pill, which of course I took willingly, like I wanted any solution that was going to work, and it was like magic. Within a month, my skin was beautiful and clear, my periods were regular. So I guess I figured that, you know, I was cured. So, you know, after a couple of years, I think it was, I thought I'd stop taking the pill. As soon as I stopped taking it, my skin flared up even worse than it was before. And all my symptoms came back with a vengeance. And so that was the point that I realized that, you know, it was just a Band-Aid. The pill was a Band-Aid solution for my health issues. So I went back on, and this happened quite a few times, you know, on and off. And every time I went off, my symptoms got worse. And so that led me down the path of trying to figure out a more long-term solution. And so I turned to food and nutrition, and I saw a naturopath. So that was really the start of my passion into natural health and the results that could be achieved with natural health. So I finished school and I studied to be a naturopath, because of my issue that, or the health issues that I had. And so I did my naturopathic studies, and I just loved it. You know, so many different modalities, and there's so many different avenues you can take as a naturopath. And nutrition was really what I was really passionate about. And so I finished my studies, and I was quite young. I was only 22, 23, and a lot of people that were studying with me were a lot older. And so I wasn't quite ready to start my career yet. I wanted to do some traveling. So me and my now husband took off around the world. The plan was to be gone for 12 months, and we got jobs at a summer camp in America, in California, which was an amazing experience, and thought, you know, we'd do some travel through Canada and Europe and come home within 12 months. We ended up being gone for nearly 5 years, you know, traveling and working around the world, which was just amazing. And I guess that's an important part of my story, because it really instilled a love or a need for freedom. Because while we were traveling, we did lots of different jobs, you know, travel jobs. We worked in bars and we cleaned toilets. I remember one Christmas day cleaning toilets in this resort, you know, earning probably £3 an hour or something ridiculous like that. But the bigger picture was that we were working during the winter in the UK so that we could then take the summer off and travel through Europe. And the great thing about it was that we could, you know, we had freedom. If we didn't like a boss, or if we didn't like someone we were working with, or if we didn't like an area, we'd just move on. And so there was nothing kind of holding us down. And I just loved that. And of course, now that I'm a mum and I've got two kids, you know, I've got a mortgage and all of that sort of stuff, I'm never going to have that level of freedom back. But that freedom is really important to me. And that, I guess, is one big part of the reason that I started my own business. So we did some amazing things while we were traveling. Like I said, we worked on a summer camp in the mountains of California, and we did a season in the Rocky Mountains learning to snowboard. And we lived in the UK, in London and other parts of the UK, and traveled around Europe for 6 months with just our backpacks and our little two-man tent. And, you know, went to Central America and Egypt. So just had an amazing, amazing time, met so many awesome people. Yeah, just had the time of our lives, really. Towards the end of that trip, we did more sort of career-based jobs. So I got a job as a naturopath in London, which was an amazing experience. I worked with 5 other naturopaths that were all much more experienced than me. So I learned a lot in that job. So it was really good in lots of ways, but I had an awful boss. So, you know, I just felt it was a male boss, and he, you know, didn't feel respected or valued by him. And then when we came home, I got another job in a pharmacy as a naturopath, and I had a not very nice boss there as well. So those two experiences in employment with male bosses that didn't respect me, didn't value me, was another part of the reason that I wanted to start my own business. So coming home, and we bought a house, we got married, we got jobs, you know, we did all that whole settling down thing quite quickly. So I'm married to the guy that I traveled for 5 years with now. So we always joke that, you know, we survived that, the 5 years of traveling in a in a two-man yeah. tent and hostels and share houses. Like we can do anything together.
For sure.
Yeah. So we came home and did all that. And I got pregnant quite quickly on our honeymoon, actually, which was a bit sooner than we'd planned for. But anyway, it was how it all worked out. And so I remember leaving the job in the pharmacy and heavily pregnant. You know, I wasn't coming back after having my baby. I was living an hour away from this job, so it just wasn't going to work as a mum. And I clearly remember that day leaving that job, walking out of that pharmacy and just thinking to myself, I'm never working for anyone else again. Like I just want to start my own thing, especially becoming a mum. I don't want to have to, you know, be at work at this time and leave at this time and, you know, have to work weekends or evenings or not be able to go to sports days or whatever it is once I'm a mum. So that was a real defining moment for me. And then I had my baby. He's now 7.5. So I had him, and I was just a dedicated mum for probably up until he was about 6 months, and I started wanting to do a little bit of something for myself. So my business as a naturopath started really then, at the point that he was about 6 months old. I just started seeing like 1 or 2 clients a week, you know, while he was sleeping or while my husband took him to the park, and I did that at home. And so I've slowly grown my business as my kids have grown, which has been really great, because it's meant that as they've got older and more of my time frees up, I'm, you know, able to take on more work, basically. Now my youngest is now 5.5, so she started school this year. So this is my first year with both my kids at school, and it's just life-changing. You know, I really enjoyed having kids at home, but just trying to, as you would know, just trying to juggle a business with, you know, babies and toddlers at home is a real challenge, and it just feels like there's never enough time in the day. It still feels a little bit like that, but at least I've got those kind of school hours every day that I know that I can work. So I'm working, my work-life balance is a lot better now, because I'm not coming back in the office in the evenings like I used to have to do because I didn't have time to work during the day. I'm not working weekends, that sort of thing. So my naturopathic business slowly built up, as I said, as my kids grew up. So now where I'm at the moment is that I work 2 days a week in my clinic, so seeing clients for all kinds of health issues or health goals that they have. I work a lot with women and kids. And that can be anything from, you know, mums that are fatigued to chronic health issues that people have, such as, infertility or autoimmune conditions or asthma or eczema. I work a lot with hormonal issues. I work a lot with digestive conditions. And a lot of those conditions are areas where Western medicine doesn't do a great job, you know, and it comes back to what we're eating and how we're living. So being a mum, I was seeing lots of mums in my clinic and lots of mums that weren't in a very good place. You know, they were tired, they were stressed, they were overwhelmed, they were exhausted. And because of that, they had a myriad of health issues that went along with that. So it ultimately came back to the fact that they weren't looking after themselves. So, you know, that can lead to then fatigue or sleep issues, anxiety, depression, like I said, digestive issues, so bloating, constipation, IBS, those sorts of things, and lots of hormonal issues from, you know, PMS to endometriosis, polycystic ovaries, heavy periods, painful periods. So all of those sorts of things are areas that I work a lot with in clinic, and I was getting really good results with these mums in clinic. And so that led me on to wanting to sort of expand my business and be able to reach more people than I could in my clinic. So a couple of years ago, I started my online space, which is Energetic Mama. And that's really about, I guess, honing in my naturopathic knowledge and delivering it in an online way. So through blogs, through e-courses, through e-books. So, yeah, that's where I'm at the moment.
Cool. Firstly, I just want to say, looking at you, like, obviously you figured out what to replace the Band-Aid with.
Yes. Definitely, yeah.
So what happened there? Tell me that story.
Yeah, so it was a very slow process, and I suffered's not really the right word, but you know, I experienced hormonal imbalance for a very long time. I was diagnosed with PCOS, so polycystic ovary syndrome, when I was a teenager. So that initial trip to the doctor, I think it was. And so, you know, I was told that fertility was going to be challenging for me and all of that sort of stuff. So like I said, it was a slow process of seeing naturopaths and homeopaths, and working on my diet is what ultimately I feel made the big difference. So, you know, I was brought up on a fairly processed diet. So, you know, I remember coming home from school and eating, you know, 6 pieces of white toast with honey on them, and because I was, you know, hungry, and biscuits, and, you know, lots of foods from packets. And so slowly I changed that to more sort of whole foods and real foods, more fresh food basically, and less food from packets. And that's made a big difference to my hormonal balance, as well as my energy levels and my overall sort of feeling of well-being as well. So I put it down to mainly food. Herbs have played a big role as well. So taking herbs to help to balance my system. And that's the work that I do with my clients as well. Because, you know, when we're putting in a medication like the pill, we're basically putting in the hormone that our body needs. So when we're working with herbs, we're supporting our own system to balance the production of our hormones. So there's a big difference there.
Yeah. So is gut and hormones intrinsically linked?
Yes, definitely. So in naturopathy, we always talk about the gut being the foundation of our health, because it's where we, you know, it's where we absorb our nutrients, and it's where we eliminate our waste, and it's where we produce our enzymes, and it's where all of that really important good bacteria is sort of housed in our body. So gut health has a huge impact on not only our hormone levels, but also lots of different areas of our health. Like our mental health is closely linked to our gut health. And there's more and more research being done in that area, and, you know, showing that when we've got good gut health and good levels of the good bacteria in our gut, then our mental health is a lot better as well. So yes, it all comes back to the gut.
Yeah, right. Cool. And something else that I noticed that you mentioned during your story, that you really value freedom. And I think, like, often as business owners, what can tend to happen is, say, because, you know, listening to your story, mine was very similar in, like, completely different ways. So for me, I had two shitty bosses male again, and just did not appreciate me whatsoever, and, you know, promised the world and delivered very little. So I left and worked for myself because, well, I wanted some freedom. You know, I wanted to be able to choose my hours a little more and not have to work the standard, you know, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, which I actually wasn't doing. I was doing way more hours than that for very average pay. And so, you know, I left and I went out on my own so that I could have freedom. But what I found I did was actually kind of the opposite. So I felt immense guilt about leaving the office, you know, like locking myself in the studio from 9 till 5, and felt like I had to justify how much work I had done, or, you know, why the dishes weren't clean when my husband came home from work, you know, all that kind of jazz. And it's taking me a long time to get over that. In fact, I think like having the office collective and being tied to that for hours and hours and hours and hours a week really made me realize how much I do value having my own time and space. So from that point, I've made a lot of changes in my business to give me freedom. And then I had a baby who kind of threw that all out the window, and now I'm a prisoner at home again, but that's another story altogether. So I'm just interested to explore that idea of freedom, and if you've struggled with similar things in your own business, or if you've been really, you know, do you have a structure that allows for freedom, or, you know, how do you kind of work that into your business and life?
Yeah, I definitely hear you, because I am a bit of a workaholic. So I love what I do, and I'm really passionate about what I do. And I work from home, so my office is, you know, easily accessible at any time, which is not a good thing. Definitely, I do struggle with that work-life balance. It's kind of something that I'm forever kind of going back to. I have periods in my business where I'm really busy. Like I run e-courses, so I launch, which is a crazy, crazy, crazy time. And I will admit that I don't have much freedom during those times. Mm-hmm. And I have questioned, you know, what I'm doing over the years, because I started the online business to create more freedom. So that was my whole, the reason for me that I did that, as well as being able to reach more and more people than I can in my clinic. So that my reach is bigger and my freedom is more. But at times when you're running an online business, it's you know, crazy. And I'm also doing my clinic work at the same time, and I'm trying to, you know, be a connected mum.
Yeah.
So it does get really crazy at times. I feel like it's getting easier. Like I just did my third launch. Like the launch period was crazy, but I balanced that with time off after a launch and before a launch. So I just kind of, I guess I see the bigger picture, and I know that I have to work really hard during sort of, you know, short periods of time. So I'm getting better at having a better sort of work-life balance, I guess, which creates more freedom. And I'm really good at taking time off as well. So, you know, we go away camping quite regularly. And so that's really what I love to do. But I do have to catch myself often, you know, do you really need to go back in the office to get that done? Does that need to be done now? Like, you know, so I am forever catching myself with that. Yeah.
You've got to have some pretty serious boundaries when you're self-employed, don't you? Because it's like you are so easily accessible to everyone. You know, I think when I first started my business, I was in my kind of mid-20s, and people just didn't get it. Like even before that, I was a rep. So I was on the road a lot, and I didn't really keep a lot of regular kind of hours, you know. Well, I did. I was there between 9 and 5, but like I was also very slack, so sometimes at 10:30 I'd still be watching High Five on the TV. God knows why I watched High Five when I was 25 years old. But, you know, like or a country practice or something, and I'd drag myself out onto the road. But people just felt like I was accessible all the time as well. So, you know, phone calls from friends and, you know, do you want to go and have lunch and all that kind of jazz. And now I think like I actually make time to do that stuff. Like, you know, I have a lot of entrepreneurial friends now, so we do call each other during the day, but there's a wider intention for the call. It's not generally just a chit chat. It's a like, where are you blocked? What can we help with kind of conversation? So it's not like, you know, a waste of time. But having that, you know, having those boundaries, I guess like now that the kids are at school, it's probably a little bit easier to manage.
Yes, it definitely is, because I have, you know, I get the work done and I've got that kind of, you know, that end of time where, that I've got to stop working and I've got to go and get the kids and then it's kid time. But I don't know, it becomes quite difficult when, you know, we've got business on our phone as well. You know, we've got social media and we've got emails, and I, most of the time I'm pretty good at, you know, I don't get emails on my phone, but I have got social media on my phone, but I take it off or I hide my icons when it's kid time. So it is a lot easier now that the kids are at school. But I mean, you know, having older kids brings its own challenges as well. I remember when my kids were younger, having a conversation with another mum saying, you know, oh, but it's all right for her. You know, she's got it all together, but it's all right for her. Her kids are at school. Like, how easy is that going to be when your kids are at school? And yes, it does get easier in a lot of ways. But, you know, there's other challenges. I mean, they tend to have more sort of extracurricular stuff going on. So they've got sport and they've got more play dates, and they don't just kind of tag along with you as much as they do when they're younger. And, you know, they've got bigger kind of emotions, and although, you know, a mother of a toddler might argue with that.
Yeah, Mabel's emotions are pretty big.
Yeah, well, they can be. She's 18 months, isn't she? Yeah. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, every stage has benefits and challenges, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. And the same with business. You have similar kind of stages. They're different. Like, sometimes I really hate the, you know, that parallel between business and or entrepreneurship and birth, you know, like launching a new product, like having a baby. And it's like, well, no, because if you're that emotionally invested in your business, it's probably unhealthy.
Yes. Well, it's funny you say that, because during my last launch, I was in the office, and my hubby's self-employed as well. So that's good in lots of ways and bad in lots of ways, because we're always, you know, he's home a lot, and I just want him to get out of my space. And some days I'd love it if he just went off to work.
Yes.
But my point was that he bought me a cup of tea or something, and maybe lunch. I can't remember what it was. But he said, oh, I've got this sus now. When you're launching, I've just got to treat it like you've just had a baby, you know, bring your food, bring your drinks, and just leave you alone.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's, I think you have got it.
Yeah.
So I could see the you know, the common thread. But
yes.
Yeah, I understand your point. Like, and I have definitely been at stages, and I guess I'm just really coming out of that, where I'm not as emotionally invested in my business, and we've become, you know, me and my business are, I don't see us as one as the same and the same anymore. We've become separate, which is a challenge when, I mean, my business is really me, you know, it's all about my, you know, I've created the programs and I'm the face of it. So when your business is like that, it can be challenging to separate it from yourself and to not take things personally and that sort of thing.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I love that. Well, I love the parallels between the two, but I also really like talking to people about that, about the fact that they are not their business, because, you know, it can get really dangerous territory when your level of self-worth is defined by a business. A business is a business. It's a separate thing.
That's right. Because if for some reason your business, you know, something goes wrong or, you know, or there's some sort of failure in it, then, it, you know, that's not a reflection of you necessarily, is it? There's got to be that separation.
Yeah, for sure. I learned that the hard way. But, you know, that's it. And it's interesting. I actually saw someone in one of the groups that I'm in posted an article today on, you know, people defining an entrepreneur as they saw it incorrectly. And I think, you know, call yourself whatever you want, in my opinion. Like, if you think you're an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. All good. But this was like an interesting look at the difference between an entrepreneur versus an artist. And an artist is someone who, according to this article, I might post a link in the show notes, the artist is someone who is really emotionally invested in their work and would never consider selling the business. And an entrepreneur is someone who doesn't have that level of attachment, really, and is, you know, constantly in a state of creation, but for kind of different reasons, because there is an end game with an entrepreneur, where with an artist there isn't necessarily an end game. I just found that distinction between the two quite interesting, because I think at times I have been the artist and these days I'm definitely more the entrepreneur. So what would you kind of see yourself as? Where do you think you would sit?
I've never really seen myself as an artist because I'm very logical and I'm quite scientific as well. All naturopaths are very different. So there's some kind of more energetic naturopaths that are more based on energetic healing and that sort of thing, which is definitely not me. Like, I like to kind of back up what I'm advising and what I'm saying with science. So yeah. I've never really seen myself as an artist. And I know there's definitely a creative aspect. Like, I do create, I create e-courses and I create recipes but I was never, I was never good at art at school.
Yeah.
I can't draw. I would definitely class myself as more of an entrepreneur than an artist.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. That artist word carries, I came from a family where, I have two brothers. One is just younger than me, and then I have another one that's 5 years younger. And my brother who's just younger than me, Grant, he's a well-respected artist, and he basically has been an incredible artist in a drawing, painting kind of sense since he popped out of the womb. He's just always been like that. And I always thought, oh, I'm the artist, but there was always this bit where it's like, no, he is definitely the artist because he is an artist.
Yes.
And for me, I would say to my dad, what kind of artist am I? And he was like, well, you're the bullshit artist. it's like I became the communicator, which was kind of the bullshit artist. And then my younger brother was the academic, and we have slotted into those roles all our lives. So he has been, Grant has definitely been the artist in an art sense. I have been an artist in a communication sense. And my other brother, he's definitely an artist in, an academic sense. So I think like there's art and then there's an artist,
yes.
Like there's yes, definitely.
There's a different,
yeah.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here's a random question. Based on when you were talking before, you were saying about how you traveled for 5 years and you loved it. Props to you because, God, if I traveled with my husband for 5 years, we'd both be fucking dead.
Had our moments. Yeah. We definitely had our moments.
I watch Amazing Race and I'm just like, Mikko, we are never doing Amazing Race, okay? That shit is never happening. Props, big props to you. And I just wondered, how do you feel that those years of travel have affected the way you live now and how you work, your business?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think I'm going to have to think about that one for a minute.
Go for it. Are there elements that or key things that you've learned while traveling that have definitely shaped how you run your business now?
I think really it brought about this love of having an online business, because as a naturopath, there's very few naturopaths that kind of go down that online route. Most naturopaths are, they're in clinic and they're, looking at studies and that sort of thing and figuring out ways to kind of bring that to their clients. So I think that, probably the main thing that it's done is made me want to go into that online space, because when you travel you just get such a different perspective of the world. My parents still live in the same house that I was born in, so I had this very, very stable childhood, and so when I went overseas it was like a whole another world opened up to me. So I can't really pinpoint exactly how that's affected my business, but I think it's deeply changed me as a person, just having that bigger sort of perspective. The online side of my business, and I haven't really thought about that before, but I think it probably is, did come from my travels. And I think, just generally getting different perspectives and connecting with different people, because like I said, I had that very, very small community when I was younger. And so coming out of that community and just meeting different people and connecting with different people that had completely different backgrounds to me, has changed me in lots of ways, and I'm sure has had an influence on my business, but I'm not sure exactly how.
Yeah, cool. No worries. That was a huge question. question. Sorry for just like throwing that at
you. Time to kick up your feet and relax. It's on the couch.
Biggest fear.
Biggest fear. It would have to be failure, which I know is a big one. I guess building my business has taken a lot of, you know, energy and resources, both of my own and from my family. And there's been times where, you know, there's been a lot of guilt attached to that, where I haven't been able to connect with my kids as much as I would like, or haven't had quality time with my family as much as I would have liked because I've been working on my business. So to feel like that was all a waste of time, that would be my biggest fear. You know, if it's getting me to the place that I want to go, which is ultimately sort of more freedom. And we've got plans to do some family adventure travel in the near future, which is really what you know, my business is leading to, so that I can get it completely online, to have that freedom to be able to work from anywhere. So for that to all fail and for me to feel like, it, you know, that all of that time wasn't worth it, that is my biggest fear.
Yeah. As someone who has seen failure firsthand, don't worry about it. It's all good. okay, so biggest...
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, don't worry about it. No, that is a totally valid fear, by the way. I wasn't discounting the fear. It's a valid fear. And biggest struggle. What are you struggling with right now?
Oh, gosh. Probably comes back to a little bit what we were talking about before, letting go of that belief that I don't have to always work hard to have a successful business. Mm-hmm. Being able to let go and outsource is something that I'm slowly learning that I need to do. And yeah, so that would probably be my biggest struggle, because I do tend to, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, just feel like, okay, well, I need to just do more. I need to do more so that it gets done. But letting go of that belief that, like, you know, working more isn't necessarily going to solve the problem.
Yeah. Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, totally.
I've struggled with that myself. That whole that it's like so ingrained, the belief that hard work equals success, where, you know, it's not necessarily true.
No, that's right. And I did some an EFT session on this, and I went back to this memory that I had of me bringing home a school report card and showing my dad, and you know, him saying, oh, well, it's good, but, you know, it could be better and you'll just need to work harder. You know, and it was, you know, something like B's instead of A's or something like that. And my dad was, you know, he's a hard worker. He's a factory worker. He worked in the meat works. And so he just wanted better for us, you know. Yeah. And that's what I've kind of, that's the memory that I've brought that back to, that, you know, you've got to work harder to make it or to be successful.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. My dad used to basically leave the house before it was light and come home after dark, and he ran a cleaning business. And I have similar kind of memories about, you know, the amount of work that was involved to be self-employed. And Dad wanted better for us, so he encouraged us to, you know, basically taught us that doing what we love was more important than, you know, working really hard, which has been good. But yeah, but I still come up against it every now and then where, you know, I'm doing really well, the business is really doing well and the money's flowing and it's not hard work, and then bam, you know, hit with a massive tax bill, or bam,
yes,
you know, something else comes up just to remind me that, you know, that belief still exists.
That's right. And it's so, like, even, no matter how much work you do on these beliefs, they still, you know, they keep coming up. But I guess it's just recognizing that when they do come up, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And being aware, like being able to listen to your own voice and being aware that, hey, you know, I constantly have this thing where I hear that voice and I say, is that really true? You know, is that really true? And
yes,
actually, that's a good segue into our next question about the recurring voice. So what does that recurring voice of a negative kind of slant, what is that saying to you on a regular kind of basis?
Yeah, so it's probably, you know, that I'm not enough. I guess as a, you know, with what I do, I'm putting my fingers in lots of pies. So if I, it comes back to comparison. So, you know, if I'm comparing myself with other naturopaths that are solely doing clinic work, then, you know, maybe my technical knowledge isn't as good as theirs. And if I'm comparing myself with foodie blogs and Instagram accounts who have these gorgeous pictures of all of their recipes, then my food photography isn't good enough, or my recipe creation isn't good enough, or if I'm comparing myself to other, you know, health coaches, then, you know, maybe my program isn't, you know, doesn't deliver enough or whatever. So, or if I'm comparing myself with other mums that are, you know, helping out at school and on the school committee and, you know, really, really sort of community focused, then, you know, am I being a good enough mum? So it's that, you know, am I good enough?
Yeah, for sure. Not entirely uncommon.
No.
I think most, you know, most of the people I've spoken to, it's I am enough is or I am not enough is definitely a regular theme. Failure. You know, I've been thinking about reframing this question because failure, from what I'm realizing, people frame it very differently. So, you know, the question really is, do you know failure and what does it look like? And I guess really when we're talking about failure, I mean, my failure was very much, I could put it in a box of failure, but a lot of people, you know, a lot of people frame it as lessons or things that didn't work. Like, let's talk about failure.
Yeah.
What does it mean to you, and what would it look like, and have you experienced it?
Yeah, okay. So I think I'm a very optimistic, you know, glass full kind of person. So if things, I am fairly good at seeing like the positive in situations, and also, so I guess failures that I've had, haven't had any sort of major failures that I can think of. When I do have small failures, it's more looking at what lessons have I learned from that. So that's how I kind of see failure. When I started in the online kind of business world, I was looking at what other people were doing, as you do, you know, seeing that people are offering tiers of different products that people have. So, you know, you have the group courses or e-courses, yeah, and then you have to do the one-on-one stuff. So I developed a coaching program that I wanted to offer because that's what everyone else was doing. You know, so I did my sales page and I got all of the content ready for when I started coaching people, and, you know, the forms that I would send them when they signed up, and started doing those sales calls or discovery calls, because that's what, you know, that's what you do when you have an online business. Yeah, it's a formula. That's right. And I did probably 6 or 8 of these calls. Didn't get one person signing up to my coaching program. My prices were quite high because, you know, I was a qualified and experienced naturopath and I was valuing myself and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, at the end of every call, that they would, the people would always say, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to talk to my husband. And then I'd get an email back saying, oh, no, you know, we can't afford it or whatever. It took me, you know, a few months to figure out that I don't even want to be doing this one-on-one coaching. The whole reason that I got into online business was to free up my time and offer sort of more e-courses. But because I'd seen that's what everyone else was doing, that's kind of, you know, I thought, oh, well, I'd better do that as well. I do one-on-one work in my clinic, and my clinic doesn't require a lot of work in terms of, I get lots of referrals from my existing clients or from other health professionals, chiros and physios and stuff in my nearby area. So I don't have to do sales calls for, you know, people ring up and say, can I please book an appointment with you? So it works really easily. So that was a really interesting lesson, that the coaching thing, you know, and like I said, it took me a few months to figure out, well, this isn't even what I want to be doing. That's why no one's signing up with me, because my heart's not even in it. I don't know. That's an example of a failure, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's interesting, because there's a couple of things that highlights for me. And one is that whole charging what you're worth thing. I just struggle with the what you're worth. It's not what you're worth, because your worth isn't $150 or $1,000 or $5,000 an hour. Your worth isn't defined by that, you know. And so I think sometimes we can get stuck in this thing where it's like, I'm charging what I'm worth, but it's really, no, you're just you just got to charge what your product or your service is worth. It's like,
that's so true. You know, yes. Yes. Yeah. It's not about you. It's about, yeah, the product or service or what the person's going to get out of it and what value they put on what they're going to get out of that.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing was following the formula. Like, that's the other thing that I see happen time and time and time again. And, you know, I guess you follow a formula because it's worked for other people. But it's also really dangerous because then you lose your voice. Like, it's the same in motherhood. I find that, you know, there's so many ways to fix things. And so we're constantly looking outside of ourselves to fix things when really we just need to go inside and the answers are there. Do you want to do one-on-one coaching? Not really. You know?
Yeah. That's right. It comes back to, listening to your gut and following your own path and not looking at what everyone else is doing and thinking that's what you have to do. And you're right. Same thing goes in motherhood. You know, we can get caught up in that, you know, right from birth, it's like, well, oh, where should my baby be sleeping? Should I be co-sleeping? Or should they, you know, they be sleeping in their own room and, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah.
And just like in business, in motherhood, there's always going to be someone who doesn't like what you're doing, you know,
exactly,
always someone who could tell you how to do it better, but you've just got to do it your way, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And I've got a reminder on my wall here that says you can be the ripest, juiciest peach in the world and there's still going to be somebody who hates peaches.
Yeah,
exactly. I really love that because it's, you know, you can't please everybody.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And I think you've got to make peace with that, don't you?
Totally. Okay, so two questions left and one is career highlight.
So many. I think in terms of the online business, launching my e-course for the first time and starting to get sales coming through, like those first few sales. And I remember being at my son's footy carnival for the day and getting, you know, the PayPal notifications on my phone. So, because, you know, you put so much of yourself into a program and launching a program, you know, it's a risk. You know, you've got that fear in the background saying, what if no one actually buys this?
Yes.
That was huge for me. And, you know, that was really realizing a dream of getting my business online for my bigger picture. So that was definitely a highlight, and so many highlights in terms of just working with clients and seeing the results that they achieve. Like, I do a lot of work with fertility and that is super rewarding. Yeah. You know, seeing women get pregnant and or you know, couples get pregnant and then, you know, getting that message saying that, you know, baby's been born, that is just awesome. And I've had fertility clients that have been through IVF and been through other fertility treatments and, you know, come to me and we make some changes to their diets and because that's just not done. Like, I mean, it's not talked about when it comes to fertility is actually what are you eating? And, you know, that sort of thing is overlooked when it comes to, you know, the Western sort of approach to fertility.
So fertility in general.
Yes.
You know, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I had a client a couple of months ago. She's got a chronic gastro issue and her gastroenterologist said that her diet's got nothing to do with it. So her diet's not, I mean, how that just seems like common sense to me. How come what you put into your mouth and what, you know, is flowing through your digestive system have nothing to do with your, you know, digestive health? It's just crazy to me. And so I'm kind of up against this all the time. And I'm totally not against modern medicine. There's definitely a place for it. I just feel like the system is very kind of fragmented. You know, I see lots of people who are seeing a specialist for this and a specialist for that. And then they've got their GP and none of these people are talking or communicating at all. So it's just looking after one part of someone's body or one particular bodily system and not seeing that those systems are integrated. Yeah, very frustrating. So, I mean, I had a client last week even, an elderly lady who's got a huge list. She came with a huge long list of health complaints, a huge long list of medications that she's on. And so she just said to me last week that she can now stand up in the kitchen and make dinner without having to sit down. Like she was having to chop the onions and then go have a rest. And yeah. So making dinner was taking her the whole day. And so now she can stand up and make dinner all in one go. And for me, that like it's those simple things that we take for granted that, you know, are life-changing for a lot of people.
Yeah, for sure. Last question. Do you have any self-care or self-love kind of routine or things that you do to show yourself you love yourself?
Yes, I definitely do. You know, I go on about this to my clients as well. So for me, I do a yoga class twice a week and I do that, you know, consistently. And I walk on the beach a couple of times a week and I do that consistently on my own. Those things are, you know, I can't be without those things. And I think it's really just about having that 45 minutes to an hour to myself where no one else needs me. And I really try and practice mindfulness during those times. So really focusing on, you know, my breath, or just focusing on my senses is a really easy way that I find to be mindful. So, you know, this morning when I was walking on the beach, I was just watching the waves roll in. So, and really noticing, you know, the droplets of water, or noticing the birds fly past, that sort of thing. So just really being very present in those times, because there's no point, you know, doing a quick power walk along the beach while you're thinking about what you're going to cook for dinner tonight and what tasks you've got to get done for the day. So I think that mindfulness while you're practicing self-care is really important. Any way of getting into nature I love. So as I mentioned, we go camping quite a bit, even if it's just, you know, half an hour down the road. It doesn't have to be far, but just getting out in nature and having a bonfire and just, you know, sitting amongst the trees or spending time on the beach. The beach is a big one for me because I'm very close to the beach and it's just got such an amazing energy about it.
Yeah, for sure. You feel very, you know, I walk on the beach 3 or 4 times a week. I get down there and I do at least an hour. Brings me back to the fact that I'm very small in this huge, vast universe.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it puts things into perspective, doesn't it?
For sure.
Yeah. And like I said, it's that energy. It's the, you know, the ocean and the fresh air and just being in your own. Yeah, just being on your own as well, I think is, I mean, you know, I guess you can do it with someone else, or sometimes you have to, you know, have the kids, you know, tagging along with you or whatever. It's still better than not going at all. Yeah. But just to have that, space, I think. And the more you feel like you haven't got time for that, the more you need it. There's that old kind of saying that says, you know, you should meditate for half an hour a day. Unless you don't have time, then you should meditate for an hour and a half a day. I love that. Yeah. And that's a really good reminder that you've just got to fit it in.
Yeah. And the time to slow down is when you don't have the time.
Yes.
Know, definitely. Yeah. Because it's just push, isn't it? Otherwise. And
that's right.
Yeah. That doesn't really get you anywhere.
No.
Except exhausted.
And yes, and burnt out. And I see a lot of that with the women that I work with, you know, that adrenal fatigue, because you do just push, whether it's because of your business or because you're a mum, you know, you feel like you're just going to be able to do it forever. You might feel exhausted at the end of the day, but there comes a point where your adrenal glands just say, no, I can't, you know, I've got nothing left. And then you end up in a point where you just can't get out of bed. And I see that in my clients quite a lot, and it's, you know, it's debilitating. Then that's the end of your business, you know, or the end of your health. And without your health, you've got nothing really. That is the most important thing.
The plug. Instead of filling the podcast with self-promotion, we're being totally transparent. Here's the plug.
Everything about me at my blog, which is energeticmama.com, and mama is M-A-M-A. So that's where I blog. You can find links to my e-courses there. You can find links to my social media accounts. I'm active on Facebook and Instagram as energeticmama.com. Yeah, so that's the best place to find me.
The takeaway: exercises or tips for positive change, sprinkled with salt and vinegar, wrapped in newspaper, and handed over the counter from our special guest to you.
Make sure sure that you're looking after yourself, really, whether I work with mums, like I said, so this is a constant message that I have for my clients, but it's also very important as an entrepreneur or as a business owner, because, you know, without nourishing yourself with good food and without moving your body regularly and without taking that time out for yourself to slow down, preferably every day, you should be doing that, your business is not going to be sustainable, or as a mum, you're going to kind of fall down in a heap eventually. So it's really about making time to look after yourself. And I know sometimes it feels like, you know, you don't have time to eat breakfast in the morning, or you don't have time to get to the gym, or you don't, like we were just talking about, you don't have time to, you know, go for a walk on the beach, but you really have to prioritize it and make time for it, because it makes you a better mum and more patient with your kids. And if your glass is full, and as a business owner, I think it makes you more effective and it gives you a different perspective. And that's when the ideas flow.
And, you know, let's face it, if you don't put yourself first, no one else is.
No.
But also if you don't put yourself first, like the parallels between motherhood and business, again, it's like if you're not putting yourself first, then, you know, nobody gets the best of you. You know,
that's exactly right. Yeah. And I mean, you know, and if that's your motivation to put yourself first, then that's great, because it makes you more patient and it makes you a better mum or a better business person. If that's your motivation, then that's why you should do it. But you need to be putting yourself first, for sure.
For sure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Carlosophies podcast with me, Carly Nimmo. Let's continue the conversation at carlynimmo.com. If you were a big fan of the podcast, I'd be stoked if you left a review. And if you want to hear more radness just like this, be sure to subscribe and spread the word. In the meantime, be real, be rad. Peace out. Thanks again for listening. If you really dig this podcast and you're keen to start your own but not really sure where to start, head over to radcasters.com and check out my brand new podcasting school. Until next time, peace out.